Welcome back to The Real, the podcast where we stop dancing around life's big stuff and just talk about it. I'm your host, Sally Lumen, and today we're getting into something that every single one of us wrestles with, making a decision. The not what's for dinner kind of decisions, although let's be honest, that's a whole thing too. But I'm talking about the gut level, heart racing, can't sleep kind, the kind that changes your life or keeps you stuck for years. And if you've never had to make that kind of decision, if your life has been so smooth you've never had to choose between fear and freedom, this might not be your episode. But for the rest of us, this one's for you, because I want to take you back to the moment in 2017, it was Mother's Day, when I made a decision that was both hilarious and humiliating and also life-altering. So here's the scene. It was one of those weirdly warm spring days in Wisconsin, like really warm for May, and we decided to take the boat out on Lake Redstone, which is one of our favorite spots. My husband and I had the boys with us, and we were just cruising around enjoying the sunshine, and we floated past this big old rock outcropping. And if you're from the Driftless region, you know what I mean, in Wisconsin. These are the giant rocks that were left behind in the last ice age, and they're everywhere around here. So this one, it's kind of famous. Locals know it. Teenagers definitely know it because they climb it and jump it. So we're driving by and I look up at it and I say super casually to the boys, you know, I think I could jump off that. Oh my gosh. And immediately their eyes light up. Do it, Mom. You know that moment when you say something out loud and instantly regret it? Yeah, that was me. But I had committed. So we pull the boat up, climb the rock, and suddenly I'm not a badass woman anymore. I'm a 45-year-old mom standing at the edge, knees shaking, trying not to chicken out in front of my kids. And if you're a parent, you know, once you say you're going to do something, you better do it. It's how trust is built, and that's how legacies are made, I guess. And it took me about 20 minutes to jump. 20 full minutes of waves crashing, boats cheering, people going by, my kids jumping off and climbing back up again while I stood up there waiting for the courage. And inside of me was just this pressure cooker of fear. I was kind of excited. I was in shame because I couldn't do it. I couldn't jump, you know, and I was thinking, what if I bail? What if I fall wrong? What if I die? I said I was going to do it, and now it was time. And then from down on the boat, my son Riley yells out, screw it, just do it. And at that moment, I ran and tripped and belly flopped into the lake like a mother. It hurt like hell, but I did it. And yes, the whole thing was caught on video. It's on Facebook. My husband shares it every single Mother's Day. Mocked, loved, watched. And honestly, I laugh too because the commentary is gold. The splash is outrageous. And the moment, well, it was pretty unforgettable. And here's what most people don't know, though. While I was standing on that rock trying to find the nerve to jump, I was also trying to decide whether or not to buy a Remax franchise, whether to go all in on myself, whether to bet on a vision no one else could see yet. And for those of you just tuning in, I've been in real estate for over 26 years. And in 2017, I was wrestling with the biggest professional decision of my life, to step away from where I'd been and build something of my own, to open my own brokerage. I knew it would just take everything out of me, courage, money, energy, vision. And I didn't have all the answers. And you know what? I still don't. But that day, that jump was symbolic for me. It was my reminder that I don't have to look perfect when I leap, because I didn't. And I just have to jump. And after that rock jump, bruised and humbled, I made the call and signed the paperwork, and I launched what is now Remax Real Pros. And in the background of that video, if you listen close, you'll hear the words that became my personal mantra, and I said it before, was screw it, just do it. So the jump into the lake was a great example of why decisions can be so hard. You see, decisions aren't just logic, they're loaded. They come with emotion, identity, fear of letting people down, fear of being wrong. And when other people have opinions, especially people we love, it complicates the hell out of it. In real estate, I see this constantly. Like an example of a young couple walking into a house. They love it. They're ready. And then the grandparents come in the second showing and they say, oh my gosh, this is a teardown. This place needs so much work. Why would you waste your money? And suddenly this beautiful moment becomes a battleground between dreams and doubt. If the family member's someone they trust and they have a good relationship with, their advice might become welcome even if it stings. But if that relationship is strained, their words hit differently. It's not guidance, it's interference. And now that couple has to either overrule family or bury their own instincts. So this is the invisible pressure of decision making. We don't want to hurt anyone, but we also don't want to betray ourselves. So I was thinking, what is that evolution of decision making? When we talk about the ability to decide, right? Because my 20-year-old Sally couldn't have made the decision to buy a RE/MAX franchise. You know, I didn't have a lot of experience to draw from at that point early on in my career. But when I was 44 or 45, when I decided, I had a lot of wins and a lot of mistakes that I had grown from. And I knew what it felt like to mess up. I knew what it felt like to succeed. And I know what it feels like to be stuck because I waited too long to choose. So that's the gift of age. It's not just wisdom, it's reference. It's why elders in many cultures are seen as decision makers, right? It's easier for them because they've got a lot to bank on. And it's not because they're smarter, it's because they've been there. They've stood on that metaphorical cliff and they've jumped, or they didn't, and they learned either way. So when we go a little bit deeper about decision making, we come to a couple of concepts that we have in our world called hoarding, decision fatigue, and mental clutter. Have you ever really thought about what hoarding is? So in real estate, we call it hoarding when we walk into a house and see stacks of boxes, books, newspapers, literal garbage lining the walls. And usually there's barely a clear path through the home, through the rooms. I once toured a home where the only way to get through was a narrow trail winding through the clutter like a human-sized rat maze. And it wasn't just messy, it was unlivable, really. So hoarding is a mess, but I want to offer this. Hoarding is also a symptom of decision fatigue. It's not always about mental illness, and sometimes it's just about too many choices not being made. When we think about it, have you ever had mail pile up by your front door or avoided folding the laundry so long that you're digging through the basket for clean underwear, or you had garbage stacked up because you missed trash day and then missed it again? Well, you might tell yourself you're just busy, and maybe you are, but underneath that story is a truth we don't always want to admit. You're not deciding. You're not choosing to handle the thing. And that right there is decision fatigue. It's what happens when life overwhelms us. We stop making choices. And instead we buffer. We call it buffering in coaching. We zone out. We binge Netflix for 6 hours. We pour the wine and another. And we work ourselves into exhaustion to avoid what's waiting at home. We walk past the same pile of mail every single day, the same full garbage can, and we just don't decide. In coaching, buffering is avoiding dealing with what needs to be done. Now, when it comes to hoarding specifically, here's what's happening. Every object in that home becomes a question. Should I keep this? Could I need it later? What if I throw it out and I regret it? And so people stop choosing and the house fills up. But this isn't just about houses. It's about lives. Because the same thing happens in our personal and professional world. We stop choosing. We stay in jobs that drain us. We stay in relationships that don't inspire us. We hold on to beliefs and goals that don't serve us anymore just because we haven't stopped to question them. Why do we do this? Because making a decision feels like too much. And here's the truth bomb. Not deciding is still a decision. And it's almost always the one that leads to regret. How to make a hard decision. So like if you're feeling stuck right now in some kind of a situation, let me give you something real to use. You don't need a perfect decision. You just need one that's yours. So I have a 5-step formula that I use myself and with my coaching clients. So number one, you have to pause the noise. And in coaching, we call this holding space. Give yourself room to actually hear yourself think. And before you text 10 friends or take a poll or a questionnaire on Facebook, just ask yourself, what do I want? Number two, name your fear. Are you afraid of failing, of disappointing someone? Are you overwhelmed and afraid of choosing wrong? Get it out in the open. Clarity starts there. Number three, anchor into your values. What actually matters in this decision? Is it your freedom, your growth, your peace, security, purpose? Remind yourself of your bigger mission. How do you want to live your life? Do you want to live in constant disorganization? What would it feel like to clean out your car once and for all, to manage the garbage day to day instead of letting it pile up? Or your closet, cluttered and, 100 white sweatshirts. Let your values and goals of what your future self wants to live like be your compass. Number four, set a decision deadline. You don't need more time, you just need a cutoff. Think of it like a red light. Waiting for the universe or God or a sign might feel spiritual and feel right, but sometimes it's just procrastination dressed up in pretty words. Don't give your decision-making power away. Honor your ability to choose. And number five, take the leap. I used to say all the time at the office when I was first in real estate, I'm building the plane while I'm flying it, and I really meant it. You don't have to take the leap gracefully, and you don't even have to be right all the time, because most of the time we don't even know what the right decision is until we're on the other side of it. You just need to do one thing, decide. Put your shoes on, pick the day, take the step, and if you belly flop, well, hey, welcome to the club. You're in great company. I've even got the bruises and the video to prove it. So in closing, creating confidence is one of the feelings that I give myself and I work through all the time, because confidence helps the decision-making process. And confidence just doesn't come out of nowhere. It's something you create. It's a feeling that comes from experience, from small wins, from building the muscle of trusting yourself. So practice. Pick something small and make a decision today. And then tomorrow, do it again. Build that belief brick by brick, because life, it's not about being right. It's about being real. And real people, they leap. Thanks for listening to The Real. I'm Sally Lumen, and if nobody's told you today, you've got this. Now go make the damn decision. If this episode hit home, do me a favor, share it with a friend who might be standing on their own metaphorical cliff right now. And if you've got a decision weighing on you, I'd love to hear about it. Drop a comment or message me. Let's get real about it together. And hey, if you're craving support, clarity, and someone in your corner, I'm taking on a few new coaching clients. Head over to coachingworks.net and sign up. You don't have to do this life alone. Coaching works, I promise.